Anya, I'm very happy to have you today here and to kick off together this podcast episode.
Thank you very much, Neil. It's a pleasure to be here.
Anya, you are the founder of Spot Trends and Business in Denmark. You advise clients not only within the lifestyle sector, primarily from Europe and Scandinavia, but you as well develop design concepts. You advise on product development, but as well on consumers and their emotional buying preferences. And you write on Twitter, you know who will buy what in the future.
Yeah, that's kind of my line of work, to figure out how consumer behavior and future trends are linked together. So to understand trend theory, trend forecasting, as well as the underlying buying behavior of consumers. And when you link those two together, you have a forecast or a prospect of what future projects and products will be out there for the consumers.
You are part of the Trend Council of Heimtextil, and you are this year's curator of the Heimtextil Trends. And when I listen to your presentations, when I watch the clips and the trend content on the Heimtextil website, it really gets clear that your work really goes far beyond color scales, trend scouting, advising and presenting a broad variety of compositions of textiles. It's as well advocating for new mindsets, for new approaches. The best way to impact the world is simply not to. This is how the overarching theme Next Horizons is introduced. What is the message behind it?
Well, the message has actually been inspired by research that I've done within sustainability, and particularly the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. So it is something that is within their kind of principles into circular design production, and also within the regenerative era of how to actually make that. And it is where I see that we also definitely need to go. So the best way to impact the world is simply not to. So if the things that we produce, the things that we make, if that is not made to have an impact, but made to become circular and to be part of an ecosystem, then we are on a more right path than we are right now with our very linear production. So we definitely have to see that we want to take this transformation, and we want to highlight how we can see that we have to think design and products in a different way, and that the problem is not the impact that it's doing now. The problem is the impact that it will do in the future, and that if we don't change that, then that is keeping our problems in tune.
Yes, this is pretty much the reason why I wanted to take the perspective of a retailer visiting the Heimtextil Trends together with you, or the perspective of any sustainability savvy consumer. And deep diving into one of the four Heimtextil Trends, and I chose Deep Nature for this. Why did I choose Deep Nature? Because I think it has a really captivating messages in times where we are always looking forward to the latest technology. And Deep Nature says, to move forward, we must look back. We must re-understand how smart our nature's ecosystem is, and to use this knowledge to pave the way for a green future. What can the home textiles industry learn from nature's smart ecosystem?
Well, the thing is, through industrialization, looking backwards into history, we took a big step away from actually understanding and looking at some of the nature's way that we actually did in the more previous and more earlier time of mankind, where things actually were part of an ecosystem. And we used only, for example, monomaterials that we almost could just throw in the dirt, and then they would disappear again because they came from organic and natural materials. And then when they were discarded, they would become that again. But through industrialization and, you know, the move to actually make things in a faster and in a faster way and also in a shortcut way. We developed systems that were both linear and were just using resources, and we forgot to actually look into nature's ways and nature's own ecosystems. And the thing is that nature from the nature side is balanced, and that is the magic almost of it. But we've just seemed to kept looking away from it because things had to be in a higher and faster and paced scale. And actually, I'm also very deeply convinced that we've just not had the ability, actually the intelligence, to really understand it in a more scalable way. And we're only in the beginning of that with this whole sustainability paradigm that has been going on for the past decade. We're just in the beginning of actually coming into understanding the ecosystems of nature once again, with the purpose of what we are also looking for today. So some of these things that we're seeing is just really the beginning of getting back into that balanced system. And I think that there is so much more still to be investigated, still to be understood, and still to resurface within the understanding of nature's ecosystems. And to begin with, for a retailer, it's about going back to some of these more original natural materials within the home textile sector. That is one way of looking back and saying, this is what we need to resurface again to be more in tune and in balance.
Mm-hmm. I think it's super interesting to realize that we don't really know a lot about the nature's ecosystem, and that we kind of lost track of focusing on it more to understand it. And is that the message kind of behind it?
Yeah, definitely. It's not been, popular to say, or it's been not been an appreciative way. And that's actually not very smart of us humankind to not acknowledge that the very surroundings that we are in has actually from its own side a completely balanced way of putting things into system and of making things work. So we as humans are imbalancing it, and we need to rebalance it by understanding these ecosystems that we are part of.
Yes, and I think that takes a lot of effort. And nowadays we put a lot of effort in technology. But deep nature as well includes low-tech solutions. So technology is smart, but so is our nature and its ecosystem. So could you give us a little more details on the low-tech solutions?
Yeah, for instance, hemp is a really good example of that, where we've known hemp also in the textile industry for some years, but it's actually been very chemically produced. So we've had the hemp stems and we've added some chemicals to them to get them into some kind of softer variation to be able to create a fabric from that. But some research of a design school here in Denmark that I work very closely with via design and business, they have been looking into, for example, mechanically extracted hemp fibers. So actually taking the hemp stem as a whole and as a stiff stem and just peeling actually the fibers of it and then turning that into yarns without a chemical process in the making. And in that, they have been researching about how can this textile then be used. And it actually has shown a really, really good prospect for particular interiors, also because of its peeling capabilities. So for pillows and cushions and all those kinds of home textiles, it's really proven really, really good. And that is a great way also of going back to a more low-tech ecosystem usages and looking at it from a different perspective, and maybe also, a basic and old-fashioned way, because that's also what you looked at today. And then through technology, also technology without water and chemical elements, you can then produce a product that is then contemporary and something that we can use for today. So this kind of research project is a good example of those low-tech elements. And the natural dyes is another one, also, you know, going into the color spheres of natural processes, of using natural resources, onion peels, avocado stones, flowers, and those kind of natural dyes to dye materials from nature's elements. This has been a field that, you know, trend-wise has been talked a lot about, and have had some challenges within, you know, scalability and going more to the volume market, because then it don't last for that long as chemicals and the experience from the consumers. But we're seeing that natural dyes is also developing and also following some research projects about where you are, you know, testing their durability of how we can do it. And I'm also seeing that the aesthetic side is also changing, you know, understanding projects like Design to Fade, also from Puma and Living Colors, that collaborations that they did, that, you know, we have to say that it's okay that it's fading, and the aesthetics of that is beginning to be appreciated because it has this link to a more sustainable approach to textiles.
I think it's great to raise awareness for this, as well among the retailers that come visit Heimtextil and visit the Heimtextil Trends area, in terms of how can I personally as a retailer adjust my product assortment to this trend? How can I start? How can I kick off?
I would start low key, and putting it on the agenda, making it an effort that doesn't have to come overnight. And usually I hear from people, you know, saying that we don't have the time, we don't have the patience to it. No, I understand that we don't have that, but we have to start somewhere. And for a retailer, I really believe that it's composition. Look at composition from your products. Have an understanding of what they are composed of. That is also something, you know, that's gone a little bit lost within the expertise of actually buyers and designers. And that's not necessarily their fault. We're also looking into an educational paradigm here of what has been, you know, in the focus. And, you know, competition and composition has not been that high of a priority, really understanding what is the origins of these materials. It's been more about what is the look of things and how can we create things. And that has been also an effort into this whole thing that we need to focus more on. So educating maybe a little bit further about composition, understanding where the fabric comes from, and then to the extent that is possible, go monomaterial. Monomaterials is also a shorter way of going into circularity and to have a focus on the end use and where it can actually be recirculated. Because what we still have as an issue within the textile recirculating system is the separation of fabrics and fibers. So when you put several fibers together, that could be, you know, to enforce a wool with nylon to make it more durable, well, then you begin to have an issue of that it's difficult to recirculate.
So I think it's a lot about becoming an expert in the materials, especially in original material resources. And you mentioned already hemp, but there is as well jute, flax, linen. Asking you as a trend expert, you observe a lot of materials. Is there any of them that keeps on surprising you again and again?
Yeah, linen is an amazing fabric, both for interiors but also for fashion. And hemp continues to also surprise me with it going from, you know, the fields of what the hemp plant can endure, and they can endure severe climate surroundings and environments, and doesn't need a whole lot of watering as well. So that material, but it has to be in the production period also done in this more mechanically driven way to be absolutely more circular. But I also wanted to say that I don't see the retailers necessarily need to be experts in composition. They just need to have an interest for it and put it forward and put it in the line of price and quantity as well when they are, you know, purchasing and making or getting products into their store. So it's about getting it up the list of particularly important elements.
Thank you, Anya. Let's have an outlook to the staging of the Heim Textil Trends, which is a central highlight at the upcoming Heim Textil Summer Special from 21st to 24th of June. Part of the trend area are exhibitor products displayed under Deep Nature. What do you look for when selecting these products?
Yeah, as per tradition, you know, the trend space has been an exhibitor platform of different exhibitors' materials curated into these different trend concepts that we have. But we've added another layer. We began working with sustainability in our material manifesto that had to do with how we built the trend space with principles into more circularity, reusable elements, rentable equipment, locally sourced elements. And then we've taken the next step into also the exhibited textiles and actually filtered the exhibitors' textiles through a sustainability filter that they had to live up to one or more elements of a sustainability list. So this is something that you will see as a special thing for this coming trend space that we are making. So we're definitely trying to up the space also in terms of really walking the talk in understanding and highlighting those exhibitors and those products who are focusing on sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anya, for these details on the material manifest and as well on Deep Nature. Maybe a general outlook. What can visitors expect at the trend area furthermore at the Heim Textil in June?
Well, we're definitely focusing on, you know, people coming back and feeling textiles again. So we're really focusing a lot on textiles and on the colors. There will be a feature where you actually have the ability to bring home the colors. We've made some yarns that you can, you know, wrap and bring home with you. So that is a very good highlight of the summer special. And then we're just basically focusing on going back to textile installations. So we're preparing some very huge textile installations with these sustainably filtered exhibited textiles that we have to work with. So looking into what are the possibilities also, you know, at a little bit more scale of more sustainable textiles is what we're going to really highlight for this summer version of the trend space.
Anya, thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and all your expertise with us, with me, and to have this special perspective on the Heim Textil Trends.
You are welcome. My pleasure. I can talk about this forever. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we'll have to end this, but not before we have a short and quick either or question round.
Yes.
And my first question is going to be hemp or bamboo?
Hemp.
Dyed or undyed materials?
Undyed.
High-tech or low-tech approaches?
Oh, that's a difficult one because it has possibilities of both. But personally, low-tech.
Banana fibers or beeswax?
Oh, that's a tough one too, Anil. I love them both too. They have, you know, they're so good. But I think the beeswax has great potential within interiors. That's really interesting, some of the things that we had with us this time.
Thank you, Anya.
You're welcome.